In a previous devotional, I mentioned that Mary of Bethany, sister of Martha and Lazarus, is one of my favorite Bible characters. Why is that? Well, Mary is perhaps the best example of devotion to Jesus in the Bible. Each time we see her, she is at the feet of Jesus, at his feet to listen, Luke 10:38-42, at his feet to find comfort, John 11:1-37, at his feet to worship, John 12:1-8, and its parallels in Matthew 26 and Mark 14. In the previous study, we looked at the first of these passages, the Luke passage. Today, I'd like to look at the other two. The next time we see Mary in Scripture, she's once again at Jesus' feet in John 11:1-37, this time for Jesus' comfort at the death of her brother Lazarus. We read in John 11:1, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair." An account that John will tell us in the next chapter, John 12. "So the sister sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.'" Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Jesus delays coming to the aid of Mary and Martha, thus letting Lazarus die. J. Vernon McGee tells us that Jesus permits this to happen because God will get glory in it. We need to learn that we are not the center of the universe, nor is our home, our church, or our town. The headquarters of everything are in heaven, and everything is running for His glory. Nothing will come into our lives without His permission, and if He permits it, it is going to be for His glory. The passage tells us that knowing that Lazarus has died, Jesus gathered his disciples for the return trip to Judea, to Bethany, which was 1.5 miles east of Jerusalem. He first speaks to Martha. She is the first to greet him in John 11:20-27. Martha returns to the house and tells Mary that Jesus is there, and Mary goes out to him. In John 11:28-32, we read this, "And after she," that is Martha, "had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. 'The teacher is here,' she said, 'and is asking for you.' When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting him noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" Once again, we see Mary at the feet of Jesus. Once again, we see Mary bringing her need, her pain, her disappointment to Jesus. And once again, we see Jesus respond to her. He shows his power and his glory and his power over death by raising Lazarus to life. What can we learn through this encounter? We must learn not to second guess God's motives or his purposes. Isaiah tells us in chapter 55:9, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Don't second guess God's motives or purposes. God's purposes are not always evident to us. They are often beyond our understanding. God's purposes are different than ours and always better than ours. We consider God's delays, God's silences, God's inactivity as evidence He doesn't love us or is unconcerned for us, but that is a premature judgment. As God said to Paul after Paul entreated him three times to remove his thorn in the flesh, God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." God is accomplishing more in our lives than we can imagine. He doesn't always answer our prayers in the way that we pray them, so that he may do something greater. As Eugene Peterson has said, prayer is suffering's best result. As we look at Mary and once again at the feet of Jesus, we know that we can go to Jesus with our discouragement, our doubt, our suffering, our loneliness. The third time, the next time we see Mary in Scripture is in John 12, verses 1 to 8. We once more see her at the feet of Jesus, this time to worship him, anointing him for his death. John records it in John 12, verses 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." We see Mary at the feet of Jesus, this time to worship him, anointing him for his death. She took her most treasured possession, a sealed alabaster jar of pure nard, an expensive fragrant oil worth a year's wages. It was possibly her dowry. It symbolized her hopes and her dreams for the future. It illustrated her extravagant love to Jesus, her unique understanding of him. She took this bottle and broke the bottle and wiped Jesus' feet with it, drying it with her hair, an act of extravagant and sacrificial love on her part. Harry Foster, in Daily Thoughts on Bible Characters, says this: "Mary's action in anointing Christ for his burial suggests that she truly understood something of the nature of his death and even his resurrection. The others had probably heard the same truths that she listened to as she sat at the feet of Jesus, and with her they had witnessed the raising from the dead of her brother Lazarus. They had heard and seen, but they had not understood. Mary was different from them. Her love was not only sensitive, it was wonderfully comforting. Mary did more than anoint Christ's body. She provided balm for his soul." Lawrence Richards says, "You and I can become so busy. We can get caught up in our plans, in our dreams, even when our bustling activity is religious, doing things for Jesus. We can be like the people who surrounded Jesus then. She alone was aware of the sense of doom that weighed Jesus down. May we be as sensitive to Jesus as Mary was." Jesus is preparing to die for his people, to die for the world, yet so few of his closest associates believed or understood this truth. Mary seemed to. As with Mary, we should withhold nothing in our devotion to Jesus. We should give sacrificially of ourselves and our resources to Him. Nothing should be too costly for our Savior. Sadly, Judas, out of avarice and greed, objects to Mary's act of devotion. His words were pious, but hid the fact that he was a thief. Sadly, his objection was picked up by the other disciples. This is a warning to us that spiritual sounding words can hide the worst of motives and can influence even a church. We must be discerning. Jesus rebukes Judas and the other disciples when he says, Matthew 26:13, I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she, that is Mary, has done will also be told in memory of her. And so we remember her today. Service for Jesus must be tempered by time with Jesus to learn from Him. Jesus provides comfort in times of trouble, failure, suffering, and death. As He comforts us, we are equipped to comfort others. As with Mary, we should withhold nothing in our devotion to Jesus. We should give sacrificially of our resources to Him. Nothing should be too expensive or costly for our Savior. So we remember today Mary, the learner, Mary, the needy, Mary, the worshiper. Please join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we think about Mary this morning, may we sit at your feet to learn of you. May we bring our hurts, our pains, our discouragement, our needs to you. And may we hold nothing back in worshiping you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.